Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, joining us on KCMO Talk Radio, 95.7 FM. We are streaming, as always, in Kansas City and around the world on the KCMO Talk Radio app. Mr. Speaker, we appreciate your time in Kansas City. Thanks so much for being here. As we enter day 8, I see that Minority Leader Jeffries yesterday rejected an offer to extend these Obamacare subsidies for one more year. How surprised were you by that?
I'm not surprised at all. Good to be with you, and sorry I'm a minute late. It's pretty crazy on the Hill right now.
I can't imagine.
I tell you what, this is a political game that they're playing, and they keep giving us more and more evidence that shows that. This whole issue about the extension of the Obamacare subsidy is an end-of-year issue. That subsidy does not expire until December 31st. So I just want to tell you, members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, we're always planning to have this deliberative discussion and debate about how to reform that if indeed it's going to be extended. We were always planning to do that in the month of October and November before it expired. But they have bootstrapped that issue and they have pulled it into the September fiscal year funding debate because they had to, quote unquote, show a fight against President Trump. That's 100% what this is about. Everybody has to remember, we passed a clean continuing CR, and that's just a simple way of saying the thing is 24 pages long. It is the bare minimum. It is exactly what's needed to keep the lights on so Congress could keep doing its work. Democrats all voted for that in the past. In fact, they voted for the same instrument in March of this year. Chuck Schumer led the battle cry to vote for it. But now they've changed their tune because they've got to show a fight because there's a Marxist wing of the party now that is rising, and they're all worried about their own political futures. They got to show a fight to those guys. That's what this is about.
So what do you say to folks? And we just had a caller on who said, boy, I hope that the Republicans aren't caving in any way based on that offer yesterday. What was your intention with that offer that you gave to Hakeem Jeffries?
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. He didn't even send it to me because he knows we're not going to fold. He knows this is all nonsense. That was a pure publicity stunt. I haven't even seen his offer, and I wouldn't entertain it because our position has been exactly the right one. When they are willing to reopen the government for the American people, we can get right back to those debates. But that is not an issue for today. We have one issue before us. Are we going to punish the American people because Chuck Schumer wants political cover? Or are we going to turn the lights back on and get things going? Real people are being hurt, you know, in Missouri and all around the country. You have people who depend upon these federal agencies and their services that are not being provided. I mean, you have not just nutrition programs and those kinds of things, but you've got health services, you know, to veterans. And I mean, we have Border Patrol agents and TSA agents and our troops who are about to miss a big paycheck because of all this. They're serving and defending us for free. I mean, they've suspended the writing of flood insurance programs in the middle of a hurricane season. I mean, they're real costs to real people, and this is not a game, and we keep emphasizing that over and over.
So just so we're clear, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, this Hakeem Jeffries rejection of the extension of the Obamacare subsidies for a year, it was never an official offer from you. It was just like an idea that was floated out that he shot down.
No, it didn't even come from me. This is some rumor someone written about. No, that was
okay.
No, I'm not dealing with them on that. I've been 100% consistent. We're not even entertaining that discussion until they stop acting like children and turn the lights back on and get Congress working again.
Got it. That's what I thought. Okay, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson's on KCMO. So we're starting to hear some issues at airports around the country. Air traffic controllers are starting to, you know, get concerned and potentially balk at showing up to work. How does that layer and that next step of this shutdown impact what may end up happening here in the hours, days, and weeks to come, I guess?
Well, it's a very important question. I mean, I think the longer this lingers, the more damage is done in more areas to more people. And you would hope, you would think, that more and more Democrats would come to their senses and vote the right way. We have 3 Democrats voting with the Republicans in the Senate to do the right thing. But this is a math problem. Everybody remembers from civics, you know, right now you got to have 60 votes in the U.S. Senate to pass a piece of legislation, to pass a CR. We only have 53 Republicans. So we need a handful of them to break ranks and do the right thing and stop running from their Marxist crazy left base. Truly, that's what this is about. Remember, Schumer leads the Democrats in the Senate. He's from the state of New York. They're about to elect an actual Marxist as the mayor of New York City, America's largest city, the once cradle of capitalism. And that terrifies Chuck Schumer. The man's been in Congress for 44 years. I was 9 years old, Pete, when he got elected to Congress, okay? And he is yesterday's flavor, and he is afraid that the Marxists are going to remove him from his cherished Senate seat. And so that's what all of this is about. He wants to show that he's, you know, put his dukes up and he's fighting President Trump. So they've manufactured these issues to try to justify that. And in the meantime, as you know, real people are being hurt.
Do you think that also part of their political calculation here is to, in some ways, hope the president does start laying people off, and then they can use that and use their friends in the media to spin this, oh my goodness, look at all these people the president's laying off, to try to basically win this political battle that appears to be going on right now? Do you think that's part of their short and long-term plan?
It probably is, and as you know, there are implied. I mean, the mainstream and legacy media have been 100% in the can with the Democrats. They're literally repeating their false narrative talking points over and over. We've had to call them on it, but that may be part of the calculation. I think they've got their fingers crossed, and they're hoping beyond hope that somehow, you know, the Republicans will be blamed for this. But everybody needs to remember the simple fact: it is the Republicans who have voted and advocated repeatedly, consistently, in a united fashion to keep the government open. I mean, the White House, the president himself, the Republicans in the Senate, and of course the Republicans in the House, have all been 100% united to do the right thing. The Democrats manufacturing the crisis, and they're going to own the catastrophic consequences. This is real damage to the country in terms of our economy. We'll lose tens of billions of dollars in GDP every week that the government is shut down. I mean, the reverberation of this will go on, and I pray that they will come to their senses in the next couple of days and make this end.
So do you think that any layoffs at the federal level from the president and his staff will or are on hold for the time being until we see how the next few days play out?
Well, I can tell you that they've been as merciful as possible. They have withheld. You've not seen mass firings or any of these things that they all projected. That the Democrats projected, because the president doesn't want hardworking Americans to be adversely affected by this. He's desperate to get this resolved. And in fact, I was in the Oval Office with the president a week ago when he urged Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries not to take this step. They did it anyway. And so, yes, I think what's happened is Russ Vogt, who runs the Office of Management and Budget, is in a very difficult position. Whomever is in that position, and whatever administration is serving the country at the time of shutdown, has to make very difficult choices, because the funding streams have stopped, and he's got to sit down and basically triage the federal government. He's got to say, well, what are the most essential services, personnel, and policies, and which are not? And make those tough decisions. I don't envy him. No one does. And he doesn't like that job, but the Democrats are forcing him to do it.
Mr. Speaker, how do we break the cycle of shutdowns and partisanship each time the budget or debt limit issue comes up?
Great question. I've been working on that since I became Speaker 2 years ago. And the good news is we had finally broken the dam on that. And what that means is, the way to solve this problem is to get Congress to function again and get back to the regular order, we say, of how the government's supposed to be funded. There's actually statutory law on this, the 1974 Budget Control Act. Says the Congress is supposed to do 12 separate appropriations bills every year. They're siloed into different areas so there can be thoughtful debate and discussion to ensure that taxpayer funds are being spent wisely. But that hasn't happened for a long time. Everything's crammed together in a giant omnibus spending bill at the end of the year, and people are made to vote up or down on something they didn't even debate. Well, we've broken that. And I'm proud to tell you, this year we did 12 separate appropriations bills through the House Appropriations Committee. We passed three of them off the floor. We're in the process of doing the rest. The Senate passed three of their own appropriations bills for the first time in many years. And when the two bills didn't match up, those sets of bills, they're in a conference committee to work it out. Everything I just described is small-d democracy. That's how it's supposed to work, and that's how we act as good stewards of the people. And the way to fix this problem is to ensure that that process is restored. What they've done in shutting the government down is stop that process, which is really the whole point of all this.
Makes sense. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson on KCMO in Kansas City. We appreciate the time, Mr. Speaker. Thank you to our mutual friend, Congressman Mark Alford, for helping set this up as well. And just so I know, if the FCC is shut down right now and there's a Kansas City radio host that says something that's not FCC compliant, can he get in trouble while the FCC is shut down, or no?
I tell you what, when you got a champion like Mark Alford and the other Missouri Republicans working for you, you're going to be just fine, my brother. I'll help you out as well. Hang in there.
All right, Mr. Speaker, thanks so much. Keep up the great work.
Okay, take care.
All right, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House on KCMO in Kansas City. Thank you to him. Thank you to, yes, Mark Alford for helping coordinate this. And I know the Speaker is going to be on Mark Alford's weekend show, a more long-form conversation. That is Saturdays at 1 p.m., and then Sunday mornings at 8:30 right here on 95.7 FM. So do not miss that Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning at 8:30.